Father, we thank you this evening for everyone gathered here. We thank you for your grace. Thank you for clarity as touching receiving instructions, and profiting from the words of our pastors. In Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to continue on our teaching. On how to receive and profit from the words of your pastor. And we had started seeing how important it was to know that we are pastored by words. And how that we ought to be smart about words. There is not anybody who is going to be pastored by signs or pastored by silence or pastored in silence. Right? In fact, the pastoral ministry is in words. In Ephesians 4 verse 11, the reasons why he gives these offices is so that the saints can be equipped for the work of the ministry. And so we would definitely get to understand that how this is going to happen is going to be via teaching in discipleship. Matthew 28, go ye therefore, preach the gospel to every creature. Then he says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've taught you. Or whatever I've commanded you, and lo, and behold, I'm always with you, even to the end of the age. So we're going to have to come to terms that words play a key role in the duty of discipleship, plays a key role in the duty of receiving and profiting from your pastor's words. Now, these words are to be seen as sacred. That's going to be my emphasis shortly this evening, is that these words are supposed to be seen as sacred. They are to be received, they are to be treated, and they are to be handled as sacred. Right? And obviously we know what sacred means. It means that we receive with great reverence. Right? We receive with great reverence. We receive with great respect. We receive with great, you know, there's an awe to it, right? Because we get to realize that these are words of God. Now, anything less than this removes the efficacy of it in our lives. Now, when it comes to even spiritual hearing, we are going to see something even in the Old Testament that paints the story so well, right? And how we ought to treat words coming in from our pastor as sacred. So here is Samuel, a young, anointed prophet, and we're going to Samuel chapter 1, 1 Samuel chapter 3. He is under the mentorship of his pastor, who happened to be Eli. And I'm going to show you how sacred it is. Because it happens to me as well, that the moment I sense a voice as sacred, it starts to almost sound like God's voice to me. Right? So some of you would realize that you were about to do something and you heard my voice. Or, you know, a phrase of a particular part of a teaching pops up. Or you get to remember something that I said some time back. Sometimes it can come pretty solemn. Other times it could get much stronger. But God does these to tell us how sacred, right, the voice of his servant, who happens to be, you know, in the place of a pastor, should be to our hearts. So in 1 Samuel chapter 3, we get to see how that Eli, who happens to be a pastor of Samuel, call that a priest in that context. So now the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no widespread revelation. I'm reading from the New King James Version. And it came to pass at that time, while Eli was lying down in his place, and when his eyes had begun to grow so dim that he could not see, and before the Lamb of God went out in the tabernacle of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and while Samuel was lying down, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, "Here I am." So he ran to Eli and said, "Here am I, here I am, for you called me." So here is Samuel, and he, while was lying down, the Lord called him, "Samuel." And he answered, and he ran to Eli and said, "Lord, you called me." And he said, "I did not call. Lie down again." And he went and lay. And he went and lay down. Verse 6, then the Lord God called him yet again, "Samuel." So Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." He answered, "I did not call you, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, nor was the word of the Lord yet revealed to him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. He arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you did call me." So, all of this while, Samuel was hearing the voice of God in the voice of Eli, who was the priest. So, he almost thought it was the voice of God. You know, because God always recognizes authority, and he doesn't usurp authority, right? He doesn't just break ranks. He uses everything that communicates authority so well. He knows how to use it so well. And he would not despise it. And that proves to us how sacred the voice of the priest, the voice of the pastor should be. Even God speaks in the similitude of the voice that you are under. So, it works. Samuel hears the voice of God and is thinking, oh, that's my pastor. That has to be Eli. So look what Eli did. Then Eli perceived that the Lord had called the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, go lie down, and it shall be, if he calls you, that you must say, speak, Lord, for your servant hears. So Samuel went and lay down in this place. Now the Lord came and stood and called, as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel answered, speak, for your servant hears. Then the Lord God said to Samuel, behold, I will do something in Israel, at which both ears of everyone who hears it will tingle. So Samuel is hearing the voice of God. But he's hearing the voice of God in Eli's voice. And that is God. I'm going to say something shocking, but some of you have heard the voice of God clearly. I'm not talking about the inward witness. I'm not talking about the inward voice. Sometimes even audible. Some of you have heard the voice of your parents before. It came to you resounding as an advice or as a counsel. And God uses that too. Because he respects that. And he respects the place he puts them. That's just by the way. So you see that Eli, who happens to be a priest, a pastor, Samuel's pastor, Samuel hears the voice of God in the voice of Eli. And that's how sacred words are. God's not joking about words, neither is he joking about personalities. And that's why even in some dreams you get to see some men of God, or you get to see your pastor in a dream. It's not neither the pastor nor the person, it's God. That's God. That's spelled G-O-D. Capital G-O-D is God. So, we ought to see this and what I'm teaching you as very sacred. Sacred means that, of course, it's regarded with great reverence. There's respect. There's a premium you put to the words. Is cherished, is held in high esteem. If not, you might just end up treating the voice of God casual. So, I just want to draw your attention to something, actually, that the pastoral epistles that we read, Paul's epistle, to Timothy, to Titus. These are pastoral epistles. They are actually the words of their pastor. That's what it is. It's like, I'm here, and maybe I've left Mercedes in Central University, and I get up one day and I write a letter to her, and everything that letter entails to Mercedes is telling her how she ought to fulfill the work of a ministry that God has given her. So these are pastoral counsels. That's why there were counsels on how Timothy had to deal with the young ladies and the young women, and how he ought to deal with the young men, and how he ought to, you know, deal with the elderly men. They were all pastoral writings. They were instructions. But you know, Timothy is not going to be wise if he does not see those words as sacred. He's not going to be wise. It's just like girlfriend's letters. Some of you used to write letters to your girlfriends in senior high school. And you buy nice paper. And then you get that guy who can draw a lot on the paper. And if your English wasn't too good, you get another art 2 student who could like really, really like write words. In fact, you are not communicating. You just tell him the summary of what you want. Like, I really want to tell the girl that I miss her. I love her. Yeah. Dabiam. Just make him know, say, I miss her. Dabiam. So, you just give a brief communication. Oh, Dabiam. Just make him know, say, Charlie, I miss her. Charlie, make her write anything for the inside. I say no, you that be am. Just make it no say I didn't miss him. Yeah. Plus any other thing you go feel add way, you go feel spice there. Like the art students too, is like maybe the person you want him to write the letter, he's also not maybe he's guy, so he's a Charlie. So make I tell him say what else. You manage, you get some place to go. Say, Charlie, me, I don't get any place to go. I just want to tell and say, I didn't miss. Okay, that be him. And you see that the letter, deep words. You know? Do you know that? Do you know that? You'll be shocked how some people take those words as sacred. Because they are able to keep the letters from first year. Yes, sacred words. I'm talking about the letters that have been written to the girls. If the girl is in a different school, the girl will be able to keep the letters from first year, second semester, second year, first semester, third year, first and second semester, has all the letters in an envelope, sealed perfectly, without breaking. It's been broken, but the way it's sealed, you think it has never been broken. And they're able to keep the letters. That's sacred, that's value. You place premium, you place value, you place importance on those words. What I'm coming to say, your pastor, your notebook, your last year's camp meeting, your notebook, where is the notes? You can't even find the notes. You don't even know where the notes are. That's treating it lightly. You don't have reverence for the words. Some of you used to have three girlfriends, 4 girlfriends. You take your time, you write all of them, you pay the guy who writes. If it's your best friend too, you don't pay. You just let him write and then they distribute the letters. And there's that guy always who has a lot of letters coming in from different schools. Hey, one from another from... Hey. So, Paul is writing a letter to Timothy. You know, first letter he's written, then he's written the second letter to Timothy again. And in his second epistle, first chapter, 13th to 14th verse, he's telling Timothy something. Right? Second Timothy. Chapter 1, verse 13 to 14. Hold fast. Hold fast. Okay, give me the KJV version. KJV version helps on this one. Hold fast the form of sound words. Sound doctrine. You have heard from me. The way you can keep the letters. Hold fast the form of sound words, which thou hast heard of me, in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost, which dwelleth in us. Keep by the Holy Ghost. Drop the AMP version, please. Keep by the Holy Ghost. Don't treat lightly the things you've heard of me as your pastor, Timothy. Keep by the Holy Ghost. See what the AMP say? Keep and follow the pattern of sound teaching, doctrine, which you have heard from me in the faith and in love, which is in Christ Jesus. Guard with greatest care. And keep unchanged treasure. Eh? The treasure, that precious truth which has been entrusted to you, that is the good news about salvation through personal faith in Christ Jesus, through the help of the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. Keep them. Let me tell you something. It's intelligent to know this and to practice it. You see, you can train yourself to receive the word of God such that there is no situation that baffles you and that beats you and that makes you sad and that makes you depressed. You can train yourself to be like that. Maybe, for example, and that's the training I give myself. The word of God says it, I'm fine. I don't need to think about anything. Because people of God, if you don't do that, help is not going to come from anywhere. So you need to train yourself that, hey, this one, if it's like this, it's like this. And that's the same way you can train yourself to hear God in your pastor's voice. You know, sometimes you can call someone as a pastor, and then the person, maybe the person is worried about something, or the person is troubled about something, and then you tell the person, don't worry, everything is going to work out well. You know, to somebody, it sounds like a don't worry, everything is going to be fine, like a worksite colleague or a worksite mate. Or somebody you found in a trot that just told that, oh, you are suffering from the vessel. To some people, that's how they hear. And when you hear like that, there's going to be trouble. Because God's voice in the word, your pastor's voice, is supposed to be a sukkah. The moment you hear the voice that communicates to you
It's supposed to do something to you, because that's what the voice of God is supposed to do. That's what the voice of God is supposed to do. So maybe something is happening, and words are spoken over you, and those words should do something to you. You see, it's a training you give yourself. It doesn't just happen. So, to somebody, hearing from their pastor means like hearing from their casual friend at work. How are you going to see those words as sacred? How is it going to benefit you? You say, this thing was wrong with me. I read the word of God. It changed my perception about it. You have to train yourself to believe the word of God. If you don't do that, the word of God is not going to benefit you. And in the same way, you will have to train yourself to hear God in the voice of your pastor. If not, his words cannot bless you. His words cannot heal you. His words cannot strengthen you. His words cannot empower you. His words will not touch you. Can't do that. And that's why we set up a foundation. From the beginning, you are going to be pastored by words. You know, look, we are suffering. He's saying that God will do it. If God will do it, has he not already done it? That's a fool. He will never benefit from the pastor's words. Oh, we are suffering. He's saying that God will do it. God will do it. God will do it. Even if God met you, he'll tell you that I'll do it. Even if he met you, he'll tell you that I'll do it. Maybe you're becoming afraid of something, and your pastor tells you, do not be afraid. Only be courageous. Don't be afraid. He said, oh, it's because pastor is not in my situation. That's why. Isn't that the same? I am almost done with reading out some very key emphasis and words that the Lord spoke unto Joshua. He was always telling him, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Over 30 battles, he had to continually keep reminding him, do not be afraid, Joshua. Don't be afraid. Be courageous. I'm with you. Don't be afraid. That's the only thing he told him. Aside the specific instructions he told him on the various kings that he had fought. 30 strong battles, over 30. Every battle, you have to tell the guy that, hey, don't be afraid. I am with you. Don't be afraid. So if I'm telling you, do not be afraid, do not be worried, you are strong, you are healed, isn't that God speaking to you in my voice and telling you and reminding you of his word over you? Say, I'm sick, but when I met pastor, he was telling me that, oh, I'm healed. Pastor Pan, he doesn't know that I'm sick. Pastor Pan, he doesn't know that I'm sick. We are talking about real sickness. You say faith, faith, faith. Faith, 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 faith. We are talking about real sickness. You say faith. If I tell you how many faith stories I've heard and how many people have been healed by faith, you will not disregard it. Not somebody told me under my own watch. So let's believe God. God will provide. We need a practical solution. He's telling me that God will provide. I'm the one that's taught you practical solution. You're trying to now tell me that I don't have a practical solution to your solution. And I'm telling you that let's believe God for your solution. So there's a way that words benefit you when you see them as sacred. You reverence them. First, chief of them, God's word. Have a reverence for the word of God. Because it's pretty much easier when you have a reverence for the word of God. Once you hear your pastor, you have a reverence for his word. So you should just be able to say, oh, I heard the voice of God. I'm fine. I just spoke to pastor. He says everything is fine. I'm fine. Let's move forward. Pastor, just pray for me. I believe the words. Pastor, encourage me. I am greatly encouraged. And it's not like you are encouraged, but you are not really encouraged. No. Hold firmly to the true words that I've taught you as the example for you to follow and remain in the faith and love that is in us in union in Christ Jesus. Paul is telling Timothy, the words that I've spoken to you, they must be held onto, they must be received, they must be held onto. You have to take deliberate steps to keep. You have to. It's a training you give yourself. And this was Paul telling Timothy. And there were very key instructions. Paul tells Timothy, neglect not the gifts which were given thee by the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Give yourself wholly to these things, and your profiting will appear to all. Imagine Timothy saying that, hey, Paul, you don't know how Macedonia, the people are making me suffer. Eh? You've left me here, a young boy like me, in the land of Macedonia, a young man. You've left me here. You're not telling me that I should give myself wholly. Eh? Is it reading and exhortation and doctrine that I'll eat? Is it reading and exhortation and doctrine that I'll eat? A small innocent boy with my grandmother and my mother. My father a Jew. I was well to do. You've come to pick me, gone to circumcise me. When you even circumcise me, you cut me in a way that I was not really okay. Make me suffer, son, with you. We were moving on from journey, one place to the other. Say, give yourself wholly to these things. I even got bacterial infection as a result of your circumcision. You're not writing me a letter after all that I've gone through with you. Give yourself wholly to these things. Titus 2 is responding to Paul. You wrote to me, he said, for this reason I've left you in Crete, that you might set all things in order. Where were you? See? But that's not the spirit of his son. That's not the spirit of his sheep. That's not the spirit of a disciple. But they're able to hold on. And they're able to see as sacred. Never trivialize what you've been taught. And the teachings of your pastor are trusts that are committed to you. You have to hold fast to them. Keep them by the help of the Holy Spirit. And you know the interesting thing? Satan is after those words. is after those words. I can tell you for free. He's after those words. Remember the parable of the sower? Yeah. He's after those words. But isn't it interesting that the parable of the sower is quite a preacher? It's a preacher. It's not God revealing visions. Matthew 13. Is a preacher. Or you think it's a vision. Or it's a dream. Or it's an audible voice. Matthew 13. Therefore hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, he hears. It's a preacher's voice. It's a pastor's voice. It's a teacher's voice. Yes, that's what it is. If anyone heareth, if you hear the word of the kingdom, you understand it. Not. Then the wicked one appears and catcheth away that which is sown in his heart. This is he which receiveth seed by the wayside. So the enemy is already, he's looking for the words of your pastor. You think he's happy? You are hearing words all every day. He's looking for it. Tell her, oh, it's a lie. Is it Bible that will eat? Is it teachings that we will sleep with? Oh, I mean, there should be more reasonable. But he knows very well that is what you need. Say the word of God, the word of God. He knows that that's what you need. Then there's another who receives the seed in stony places. He hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in him, but endures only for a while. For when tribulations or persecutions arise because of the word, immediately he stumbles. You see, don't let persecutions and tribulations and trials cause you to forget all the words that have come to you in the teachings, all the words that have been taught you, all the words that have been communicated to you. Don't let persecutions and tribulations and trials come to stealing those words. And there's another person who hears the word of God, then there are thorns that choke the word of God that he hears. These are likened to the curse of this world and the deceitfulness of what I'll eat, what I'll drink, where I'll sleep, what I'll be, blah, blah, blah. It chokes the word, makes it non-beneficial, chokes the word. I remember I had to ask the Lord a question some time back. I left campus. And many times when I have worship songs playing, I will just end up crying. And I realized that ever since I left campus a few months after, I realized that I was not crying again. I said, what's happening? And I had to ask the Lord, what's different? And the Lord told me, the cares of the world, it's getting into your heart. I said, no, I don't think so. He said, yes. He said, when you're in school, you don't think about who sends you money. You don't think about how money is going to come. You don't worry about anything. Yours is just to be there. No rent, no whatever, you don't think about anything. You just think about me. And I'm like, oh, is that why? I say, yes, you better remove those bonds and thistles, is what I'll call them. I said, right away. So if you know me very well, I don't worry about anything. Yes, I don't want to, because it affects my receiving of the word of God. It affects it. Over the years, I pray the Lord preserves your heart, even as you preserve your heart, because the tides are going to have to change. Right? There's a boss that's dragging you here and there for your report. Something that's happening here, you want to go back and sleep and wake up for work, your children, school fees, you know. So even when we come, we say, glory, gospel, glory, the word of God spread. You are just there, you are saying, what word of God are we talking about? I mean, I have school fees to pay at the end of the month. My wife needs to change her car seat. What? I have to be this, I have to be that. We have to travel tomorrow. The gas is finishing. So when we say glory to God, you just say, these people, they don't know what they are saying. They don't know what they are saying. You just be there, just be looking at us, say glory, glory, glory. And some of you are beginning to be affected. But not again in Jesus' name. So the word of God, you see, you have to guide it, because you have to be sensitive. You have to stay sensitive. You have to stay sensitive. Because sometimes there could be cares that are stopping the word and your pastor's words from getting to you. You want to make money. So what is Matthew 28? Go and make disciples. As good as money is, shouldn't be the reason why you don't hear. Said the glory of the Lord covers the earth as the waters cover the seas. Say, well, what glory? We have rent to pay. Yeah. That's why originally, if well taught and explained, a youth church, in quotes, that's far better than an adult church. Because an adult church is busy waiting to hear, Charlie, your promotion, your money is coming, your car, your school fees, your son's school fees is going to be paid miraculously. It's like everything is just spread out. Yo, God, fulfill my needs. If not, all that you have to be talking about doesn't make a lot of sense to me. But you see, the youth, they don't have anything to worry about. They are not any, and there's a plague that lies ahead of them. It's youthful. There's a plague. It lies ahead of everybody. Yes. But if you are taught like the way I'm teaching you, then you can condition your heart to keep its attention and focus on the Lord despite the changing years that come. What I'm telling you is something the Lord told me myself. I had to pay attention to it. Yeah. To pay attention to it. Say, Pastor, please, I'm pregnant. Your pregnancy is causing you to spit all over the place. We're moving from Cameroon to Cote d'Ivoire. You say, Pastor, I can't go because I'm spitting all over the place. Before you realize, you're not thinking of baby cot, baby this, baby that. I'm telling you reality. So you better start thinking about it and seeing it there. the way I'm telling you, so that you can have your heart in the right place. So these are cares of the world, and these are legitimate in the sense that they probably will have to be done. Pay school fees, pay this, they have to be done. But will it cause you to not be the same old way you used to be? I'm very sensitive. I pay attention to my walk with God. By the grace of God, the Holy Spirit helps me. I'm able to tell that, no, now there's something different. Yeah. That was not there before. So get it out. Something trying to invade. There's something trying to come in. So yeah, now it's better. You are better than before. You should be able to tell all of those differences. Your walk with God. Those days your pastor will tell you something, you believe it, but now you feel like you are a big man. So your pastor is not really, he doesn't really know what he's saying. He's not really abreast. Situations on ground. It's all the same. So Paul is telling Timothy, even though you have become a bishop in the land of Macedonia, make sure that the same words I've told you, hold on to them. Make good notes. Keep your notes. Review your notes. Don't throw them around. Biology, chemistry notebooks and all of those things, you throw them around. Your pastor's words, you treat sacred. You treat your church notebooks with value. If the apostles didn't hold fast of the teachings of their pastor, who happens to be Jesus, we wouldn't have anything to do with, you know, faith today. We won't have anything to base our faith on today. They had no notebooks. They kept their notebooks. Their accounts were kept very well. So Paul is describing teachings of our pastor, sound words and good stuff. Sacred words. Sacred words. It's different from amongst many. It's different from the voice of your parents. I wish I wanted to say something else, but that's true. It's different from the voice of your parents. And your parents' voices directly fall under the voices of your pastors. Yes, because your parents lead you in natural things. Your parents inspire you in natural decisions. Your parents moves you into natural things. They want natural things for you. That's good. The voice of your pastor, the voice of God, the voice of God. He leads you into spiritual things. He leads you into what God has planned for you. You know the distinct difference between the two. You say, I recognize this as a parent. I respond to it. I recognize it. I honor it. I also recognize the voice of my pastor. I honor it. Say, hey, we are now married. You don't even know that. You see, the women, you should know this. In your home, your husbands are head. In the church, within the confines of spiritual things, your pastor is head over you. As if you both submit to the same pastor. So when it comes to the food to cook and the food to design, your husband. Once you hear God, your pastor. And that means you don't listen to what do you call it? you come to church, you say, my husband said, that's misplaced authority. Church is not your husband says, your pastor says. So it's very key we pay attention to all of these things. Trust I'm giving you wisdom on how to deal with issues. So you're going to treat as sacred, as full of reverence, having a very key understanding that you're pastored by words. When you hear God's voice, the voice of your pastor, you will be blessed. And you will profit from his words. You will profit from his instructions. As you learn to hear and as you learn to see God in man. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for everyone here. We thank you for your word. We thank you for clarity as to how to receive and to profit from the words of our pastor. In Jesus' name, pray for everyone here that they lay aside all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and they receive with great meekness the word of God, which is able to save their souls. And yes, we agree and we affirm that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. There'll be no stumbling, there'll be no doubt, there'll be no disagreement, there'll be no argument with your word in our lives. We thank you also, Lord, for the spirit of wisdom and revelation in our midst, that causes that the hearts and the eyes of our hearts, the eyes of our understanding, to be enlightened. We thank you. And we are holding on firmly to your word, to your word on the lips of the pastor. In Jesus' name. Amen.